morning, good morning, good morning, Lagos. Welcome to Everyday Money Matters, your financial advisory program. Do be reminded, EMM is a financial literacy program and as such answers to questions should not be considered as financial advice, but merely the opinions of our guests. Kindly consult your financial advisor for your personal or business financial related issues. Now that we have that out of the way, welcome to Everyday Money Matters. If money matters to you every day, this is the right show for you. To join the conversation, be a part of the show and ask any questions that have to do with financial related issues, do call any of these numbers live. 0809-191-3913 and 0809-234-5913. Also try 280-2913 and 280-3913. Rightio, we have the money man in the building today, Ugo Dre Obichukwu. Good morning.
Morning, Lagos. Morning, Sadiq.
What's really going on?
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, I do apologize, you know, about last week not being able to, due to circumstances beyond my control.
Okay, provided Lagos understands, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they understand.
I hope you're better now, dude.
Yeah, much.
What was it you said you ate again?
It was a roasted alligator. Yes. And barbecued piglets. Of course not.
Anyway, a lot happening in the world of finance, like
yes. What's going on?
Some scary stuff, man. Like markets are rolling over.
Like, rolling over.
Yeah, like things are really going down. Like
are we talking
US
about
economy? US stock market is basically
free fall.
Yeah, it's on a free fall. Like,
what exactly is causing the free fall this time?
So a lot of people believe that that the market is basically overbought, so a lot of stocks are highly overvalued.
So are people selling off?
This thing started with what they call the FANG stocks. So FANG stocks is basically acronym for Facebook, Amazon, Netflix,
the tech
and Google. So a lot of the tech stocks are not doing too well. So for example, investors believe that Apple has basically hit a peak in sale of iPhones.
Oh,
right. So the number of people who buy new iPhones, who had older iPhones, they've basically dropped. Yeah. So people basically just cling on because there hasn't really been anything revolutionary about the iPhone.
Yeah, in the past couple of releases, nothing.
So apart from the iPhone X that didn't have the home button.
Yeah, which.
Yeah, nothing really. But apart from that, I mean, same OS. Mm-hmm. I guess people are getting wiser now about these things. And then, of course, the trade wars that's going on between the US and China.
That's also affecting
markets.
Wow.
The Dow Jones, that's the industrial Dow Jones, that's the major indicator for the US stock market, you know, has been falling, has been on a free fall as well. So stocks are basically crashing. It's pretty bad.
And so it's
worst of all, Bitcoins is...
Oh yeah, heard about that. Yeah.
Bitcoins are
crashed
below the $6,000 floor.
Wow.
$6,000 floor, yesterday. People now, you know, investors now don't know where it's going to go to, right? So, I mean, so if you're holding Bitcoins, you're one of those who bought Bitcoins at maybe $1,000 or slightly above,
like
you're probably ditching right now because nobody knows what's going to happen.
If it's going to go back up, if it's going to go down.
Yeah, exactly. And it's looking like, it might just go down. In fact, there is a report I read yesterday that suggested that the US agencies, feds are looking at the Bitcoin market. They want they're suspecting that all those rallies that we had last year was probably due to some kind of corrupt practices.
In the system of Bitcoin?
Yeah, they wanted to know.
Really?
They are suspecting that there was some kind of manipulation that happened back then.
To keep the price.
I feel like going up and going up. Like,
yeah.
It got to, I think, 18,000 at some point.
Yeah,
I mean, we're all on this show when it's happening. Yeah. I mean, it got that far and now it's back to below 6,000 and nobody knows
why this how is low it's gonna going to go. On.
So the question is, how low can it go? Nobody knows. So that's in the world market, man. And then, of course, in Nigeria, a lot of stuff to stock market too. I mean, the stock market has been reeling for
a while now.
So likely going to keep going down.
And then there's this thing about people, I don't know if it's true, people saying about foreign direct investments going down. I mean, there's that story about, what's the name of the bank? The HSBC, which we found out later. Wasn't really specific to just, Nigeria.
Political stories you want to try and avoid. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's
okay.
Just they just have a very small outlet office in Nigeria. You know, so where they help, you know, facilitate deals and
so
all
it
that,
wasn't
yeah.
like so, a major thing. Nah, it had nothing to do with our economy.
And they actually also closed down some other offices as well. Yeah. Yeah. So wasn't anything. I mean, but politicians usually
use these stories
to fit whatever it is they're doing.
But I mean, there is truth to the fact that our foreign direct investments are going down.
It's been down for a while, so it's just that it's going further down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think
is this because of the
elections? We haven't got above $2 billion, $2.5 billion in FDIs in annually. Wow. Yeah, it's usually within that range. So, okay.
And is this a normal
cycle?
What
is even going down that is a bit worrying is foreign portfolio investments going down. So, and the fear is that the external reserves might drop below $40 billion. So if it does, then that's a little bit of worry.
Yeah.
The government, you know, basically issued Eurobonds last week.
Yeah, and that didn't
like
do well.
8-9%. That's quite high. It did quite well. But I mean, the yields were high. So we were like, wow, that high?
Yeah.
And we're like, why are we borrowing dollars at that kind of rate? Right, yeah, because we're high right now. And the reason some believe is that, look, the CBN just wants that dollar, man, by all means. They don't want any story. So, and it's all part of showing up your reserves.
Your reserves, okay.
And all that. So, but I mean, if you have dollars now, I think you should just hold on to it currently, yeah. Because
it'll do well.
Just hold on to it for a few more months.
Yeah, at least through the Christmas period.
Yeah. And then we're also looking at treasury bills and a lot of these fixed income securities. The yields might go up. Right, yeah. So watch out for that. You know, interest rates might start to go up. And interest rates starts to go up, then maybe we want to look in the direction of fixed income treasury bills and all that stuff.
Because the yield will be better from those.
Yeah, it'll be better.
Fantastic. Right.
So that is the world of business.
I love
this week so far.
Yeah, so it's not as dire as people have been.
Is it?
Yes. It is.
Yeah. People are losing money in markets.
Wow.
Yes. It is.
So there needs to be a lot of caution.
So you ask yourself, where do you invest money? Like
exactly.
Real estate market is not doing too well. Still very much long term.
Okay.
Stock market is not doing well.
Not doing well.
The fixed income market, the yields are not attractive. I mean, like, so you except you look at all these agro finance products.
Yeah, but those seem to be doing okay.
They're doing well
slightly.
I saw a document from one. I'm not going to mention their name, but they are into loans. They do a lot of all these unsecured loan stuff. You see them advertise all the time. Yeah, the name starts with an R or something like that. Yeah. So those guys, I saw a document and like that, and they were offering 20%.
What?
If you give them money, they give you 20% annually.
Well, as in, if you
give them 1 million,
that's for the year.
For the year, they will give you
200,000.
Yeah.
There has to be a catch.
Incredible yield. I mean, they lend at 5%. So if you come to borrow from them, they give you at 5% per month.
5%?
Yeah, so 5% per month times 12 is 60%.
Okay.
And they're borrowing from you at 20%. So there's a huge margin for them.
Okay. So it is real.
Yeah, so there are a lot of all those kind of deals coming up. Yeah, there's some other guys like that. Their name starts with a V as well. They have something similar.
Same kind of thing. So if you give them money over a period of time,
so they give you like, they give you like very good, attractive yields.
Interesting.
And all that. So if you're the type to take that kind of risk, then I mean,
why not?
You can do that.
Right. Let's go into the questions for today. Don't forget the phone lines are open. You can call in and you can also reach us via social media at Lagos Talks 913. This one says, good day, Ugo. I'm an avid reader of your blog. Kudos.
Thank you.
My concern is about the rising microfinance non-bank financial enterprise springing up in the neighborhood. They offer tempting loans. These loans are unsecured and no collateral is involved. Do you advise anyone to go for it? Are they sustainable? And this is from Sam. Kind of almost just like
that. Sam, we just took it on our map. Like, Sam, are you on the side of the borrower?
That's the side of the investor.
Because you're on the side of the borrower, you should be elated. You mean I can get a loan without collateral?
Yeah.
You know, and all that.
No, but I guess maybe he's, you know that what they always say, if it's too good to be true, usually.
Yeah. Is it a fear? Okay, so like, it's not a Ponzi, first of all.
Okay.
So let's be sure. Let's be clear about it. It's not a Ponzi.
Mm-hmm.
So they are basically unsecured loans, and that's why their interest rates are typically very high.
Oh yeah, because
like 5%
more risk
per month is high.
It's huge.
Some even do slightly above that. Some do 7% per month. It is high, right? So they know that, you know, because they are unsecured loans, the risk of default is a lot more. So their default rates are usually very high.
Uh-huh.
So compared to like your regular banking loans.
Mm-hmm.
But to compensate for that, they need to lend a lot more. So that's why you see them advertising. They advertise like aggressively. Yeah, because they try. The more people, you know, borrow from them, and they have a lot of funds with them, so people borrow. So, but you see, we're gradually gravitating into a world where you gotta have very good credit, right? So, like, think about it, guys. Like, how can you pay for your rent, like, upfront? Like, you just have 1 million, 2 million, just pay for rent like that. Bah, boom. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really work, does it? Right.
Yeah,
so,
so
there are some things you need to pay for that you really can't fund at a go, and or you probably need to save up to do it. So, but if you can't save up to do it, and they are urgent, then that's when you take up loan. Like, but like a typical advice, people, when you're going to take up a microfinance kind of loan, like this, make sure it's very short term, like 1 month, 2 months. I mean, so if you take $100K loan from them, for example,
compound
at 5%, you're gonna pay them back 105K in a month. In 2 months, it's 110K. In 3 months, it's 115K. Wow. And usually, the loans they give is usually in bits like that.
Yeah.
So you gotta ask yourself, okay, if you're taking a loan maybe to buy a new AC in your house and things like that over a 3 month period. So let's assume, you know, you just got into a new house, the three ACs cost you like maybe 90K, so that's like 360K, and you're taking a loan for like 5%. Maybe you've checked it out, like if they pay you salary, you pay back over 3 months, right? So you're gonna be paying them like 5% every month. That's like 18K, like 36K in 2 months, right? So that 360K is now 390-something K.
Wow.
Right. So I mean, it depends on how you, but that's how they make money.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if you have good credit ratings with them, right?
Meaning
if you borrow and then you
pay
refund,
back on time.
They can always come back
for and more. Yeah,
but
give
if you
more.
Borrow and you don't pay back, because these guys work with credit bureaus as well, so your ratings will just be bad, and you might not be able to get any loan again. That's how they work. Yeah, because there's some people who borrow and never return. Yeah. So, my brother, if you're from the borrower side, I think it's fine, Sam. It's good if you're on the borrower side.
But
if you're from an investor perspective, you got to be a bit careful. You got to be sure that a lot of these guys actually know what they are doing.
Okay.
And I've got a problem as well. A lot of the microfinance institutions out there are not publicly listed, Sadiq. So it means that we don't have access to their books.
Okay.
So we don't know how well they are
doing.
Nobody really knows whether, you know, there can be a microfinance crisis anytime soon.
And how sustainable.
Right, we don't know. Are they making profit? Are they making money?
Oh, wow.
What kind of bad do they have? You know.
So, well, is there any way to find out or sort of glean that information?
I mean, the CBN has got to do better at this.
Okay.
Bringing a lot of transparency in here. They are private companies, so by law, they are not really required
to make
their books public. But I mean, it's worth considering that. You know, people can be worried about this. I mean, you want to be sure that these guys are
legit.
They're legit.
Yeah, but I mean, running a business
Business. Exactly.
Yeah, that will be sustained.
It's a good going concern. So that's it for that question.
Right. Moving on. We're some on Twitter this morning. This is from at Jigga. That sounds like 2003. It says, good day, Ugo. I'm new and I want to invest, but I'm a novice. Even though stock guys are calling me, but I'm skeptical. So where do I think I can start from to invest? I guess he's asking, where does he start from? What does he do? He wants to invest. The stock market guys are calling him. What should he do?
A lot of stockbrokers are going to start calling you between December, January, February.
Because things are kind of slow.
And to be fair to them, they're doing that because they know that stocks are typically cheap now, right? So there are a lot of cheap stocks now. And by the time the election is over, you know, it's likely that you're going to make some money out of those stocks.
Oh.
Right. So you got to be very careful to make sure that a lot of the stocks that you're buying are actually cheap, in quotes. Right? So stockbrokers are going to call you. But like I said earlier, like, they're very difficult. Very few places you can invest your money in these days. Stocks are still one of those places that you can, but they're going down now.
Yeah,
so
for now, it's not the best time.
You know, and of course, subscribe to the Nairametrics newsletters. We often give our stock picks, exclusive ones, by the way.
Yes, I like that. Right, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, good morning. Sorry about that. I do apologize. It's been ringing for a while. Hello, good morning. Done that again. Right. Let's go back to social media. Interesting question. I guess we didn't really harp on it, but it's from Anthony Ibiam. And he's asking, please, what is the implication of the UK former secretary discouraging investors? We heard that story. I know she resigned recently. She had some issues with regards sitting down and talking with Israeli officials when she didn't get clearance for it. Her name is Pretty. Yes. And she said this recently, you know, talking about discouraging people from investing in Nigeria, saying that the drive of the president, is this one of these political stories you talked about?
Well, it's something you should be worried about if somebody like that is basically
the former
demarketing Nigeria. Yeah, you should be worried about it. Mm-hmm. She's entitled to her own opinion.
Yeah.
She's also got her own reasons. A lot of recent developments and recent actions by the CBN hasn't actually been something that we have been happy about. Mm-hmm. For example, the MTN saga was a case in point, right? Yeah. So that didn't really do the government really
any good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of all those regulatory onslaughts that we see that, you know, it's not really good. So the rest don't like it at all. So I've spoken to a few of them and they're like, look, they are also not going to support, because typically what happens is that when a big company in the West is trying to invest in Nigeria, they talk to their diplomatic
in the country.
What's the pulse of the economy? Is it good to invest now? So they're always going to tell them, like, don't now. There's an election going on.
That's a normal thing.
You know, the government has these issues with, you know, regulating and all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe you want to just hold on a little bit. So
things like that.
But then there are some businesses that are like, look, man, we don't really care what happens. We see opportunity in here. So we'll check our head. Do you understand? Yeah. So they do that. Like some countries are like that. They just go in there and take the risk and then do business. So I mean, but she entitled to her opinion, man.
Yeah. Let's look at this one. It's from Innocent. And Innocent is saying, hello, Ugo. I'm in a dilemma. Hmm. I'm caught between two ends. Hmm. Living with my parents, which will help me save costs, and moving out to live alone, which will cost me more and my finance will be affected. So he doesn't know what to do.
Live with your parents, though. I mean, like, save you more.
Save you more is the best option.
Yeah.
So
the only thing is that you didn't really mention what you gain by not living with your parents.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Do you want freedom at this stage of your life? Is that what's important to you? Mm. Or do you want some kind of stability? Mm. At your parents' place, do you have, do you have like maybe room to yourself? I mean, like, you got to check a lot of stuff, right? I don't typically believe in, you know, school of thought that, like, man, once you start working, I think you need a bit of time, maybe a year or two, to build your capital if you can.
And that's the best way to say it.
And of course, when you're responsible and you're taking care of yourself, I think parents understand that.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're under the roof of your parents,
I mean, so you should chip in.
You can't be coming home, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I mean, parents would always be parents, even if you're 29 or 26 or 24. My friend, as long as you're under this roof, do not come to this house by 1 a.m.
7 o'clock, 7 sharp.
So far, you are under, it's just normal with parents. So there's nothing you can do about it. But you know that it's just sacrifice for some short time.
But the best advice is save.
Save when you save as much as you want, then you can decide to move out. Mm. Or maybe when you have a girlfriend or... When you have like a partner, then you can decide you want to move out.
I'm going to live with the partner.
Maybe you need some privacy. I mean, these are the kind of things that determine whether you start. You know, these things determine whether you incur cost or not today.
Well, true.
A partner comes in, everything changes.
definitely.
You now decide. Okay,
and there have been some successful people that started their businesses from their parents' garage. The Steve Jobs, the Jeff Bezos,
a lot of these guys started from their parents'
house. So, don't feel the pressure, all right?
So stick with saving, man.
Stick with saving. It's the way forward. Right. Let's take this other question very, very quickly. It says, what is the future of banking? From observation, banks are fast-moving activities from the banking hall. The introduction of bots, internet banking, and WhatsApp banking has made this easy. Now, the introduction of and invariably wide acceptance of convenience banking, where is this going? any fear looming in the corner? Raleigh from Berger. So should we be worried about these things? I mean, isn't that just making banking easier for us? Or is there something else to it? I guess that's what she's asking.
Could you recap that again?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, she's saying that, I think it's a she, that what is the future of banking?
I think it's good. I mean, like, you're talking about whether... Are you complaining that we have a lot more internet banking?
Yeah, saying that
bots-driven banking.
Yeah, bot-driven banking.
It's amazing. It's great. I mean, like, we all want convenience. Mm-hmm. I don't see any risk there. I mean, like,
so there's nothing to be afraid of.
I mean, like, the world is, you know, technologically driven. I mean, we're still talking about cryptocurrencies where, you know, you don't even have to hold the physical currency.
Yeah,
I think so long as technology can help us do things better, make banks more efficient, you know, allow them cut cost and all that, I think it's a welcome development. I don't really see.
Well, maybe she's seeking from the angle of maybe someone who works in a bank or in a financial institution, maybe coming from the angle of, does this mean that lots more people are going to lose jobs to these bots and, you know, to technology?
Well, yeah, so that debate has been raging on for years. I mean, like, does technology actually replace jobs?
And I
think the argument these days tilts towards no. But what it does is that it replaces skills. So, for example, these days, there's a lot more demand for tech-related engineers than maybe mechanical engineers.
Because...
Yeah. So what just happens is that rather than be... So maybe... I'm just using an example. I'm not saying mechanical engineers are not necessarily...
No, of course.
So, okay, let me use accountancy. So you can now say, okay, look, rather than have accountants,
I can have a software.
You can now have maybe financial management consultants because maybe the software that they need... Maybe so there's a software now that's basically replaced the job of accountants. So, but then it has now created a need for financial management consultants, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So that's what you see happening with technology.
So basically it's just that jobs are going to, the kind of jobs are
going to change.
Not necessarily.
I mean, like, your traditional jobs that you have before, you wouldn't have again. I mean, like,
it's the same way it's happening now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, most of the jobs we have now didn't exist years ago. So in the future
exactly. That's what going to so it's new... just future jobs. I mean, that's all. So that's why you have to keep, you know, keeping on with skill acquisition and all of that so that you keep abreast with changing dynamics of the world.
Right. That's all we have time for. I know.
Oh, for
shocking.
Real?
Yes, I know. Right? It seems like we only started 2 minutes ago. But as usual, thank you. Final words for the beautiful people of Lagos.
All right, Lagos. I mean, if you've got questions, you can reach us on Twitter at Nairametrics. Visit the website www.nairametrics.com.
Yep.
And you should subscribe to our newsletter as well, right? We give exclusive premium newsletters for people who want to invest and looking forward
and
to
investment
invest.
Tips as well.
Yeah, very good investment tips. And
Fantastic.
Of course. That's the show for this week.
Fantastic. See you next week, guys. Yes, thank you so much. Really, really interesting as usual. And just like Hugo Dre said, if you have questions, keep them coming in at Nairametrics, at Lagos Talks as well. And we'll see you again next week on another edition of Everyday Money Matters. Keep listening to Lagos Talks 91.3. Money.